Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Again, apologize. Hope to be able to continue the work that the citizens of my district elected me to do. Unfortunately, the distraction that I have created has made that impossible. So today I am announcing my resignation from Congress.
Yeah!
And then the order.
What happened? In case you haven't been living on the earth for the last few weeks, Savage to Earth, hello. Congressman Anthony Weiner announced his resignation from Congress after being caught with his pants down and his private parts sent around the cyberspace universe. Why he called a press conference is anyone's guess. You need to be a psychiatrist to understand this man's megalomania and narcissism. All he had to do was send a letter of resignation and spare us this absurdity of once again going for the Kleeglites. Why did this schmuck call for a press conference? You could see he put on a new jacket. He had a new shirt on, a new tie, perfectly, the Windsor knot, like he was going to a wedding. He enjoyed it again. This man is a sick man. I realize if you go to SUNY at Plattsburgh, you're already, there's a limit, okay? You couldn't get into SUNY at Binghamton. They had to go to Plattsburgh near the Canadian border. You know what you're going to get. But the man was still reveling in the public attention. He thanked his parents who instilled values in him. And I wanted to scream out, oh, my God, what values? Anthony, why are you dragging your poor parents into this? Now, let's go to the beginning of this. You could say he's a pervert and this and that, but look, you know, he who lives in a glass house and all that, and who amongst us has not done something as naughty or as crazy or crazier, and how many surgeons in this country are wonderful, incredible, skilled, brilliant surgeons who do things after hours that are really their business that would make Anthony Weiner's shenanigans look paltry by comparison. But that's not the issue. I had this discussion today with a very, very highly placed Democrat associate of mine who loves me to death because he knows my intelligence level is as high as it can go as far as his perspective, but he doesn't agree with me politically. He's a liberal Democrat, and we were arguing over this. He said, well, really, it's his business and people's sex. The younger crowd does this. He said, you don't do it. I don't do it, but they do. I said, but that's not the point. I said, he didn't have the judgment to protect himself. And if he can't protect himself, how could this man be sitting on committees that might have to do with our national defense or the problems that we're having with radical Islam in America? He's always going to take the other side because he doesn't quite understand the danger we're in. He said, you make a very good point. He ruined himself. There's no question about it. So, you know, you don't want to tell jokes about a thing like this. I led with a story on michaelsavage.com, which is a very simple paragraph. Will Huma run? Savage asks, will the Democrats run Weiner's wife for his vacated seat? I wrote, after all, she's a Muslim woman and closely tied to Hillary Clinton. He predicts she could win in a landslide. And I do predict it. And of course, I may be the first to suggest this, but I may not be the last, nor do I know who will run. I mean, obviously, it's going to be a Democrat put in there. They're going to have a special election. So it'll be another left-wing fanatic that they put in there. He goes to an old age home with the people who put him in power today to give this resignation speech, and he calls them patriotic, which is amazing to me. What is patriotic about cashing in on Medicare, Medicaid, and welfare? I don't know. What is patriotic about carrying around the ILGW mentality? I don't know. What is patriotic about hating America? I don't know. But that's what he was talking about in that old age home. But then when he goes and thanks his parents, did you hear clip four? Play clip four for them.
I want to thank my colleagues in the House of Representatives, Democrats and Republicans alike.
And then get
they come
freed
from
already.
Different places around the country, but fundamentally, we all agree. They're all patriots, and I will miss them all. Thank you. I also want to express my gratitude to members of my staff. They're young people who are not paid very much. They're people that worked very hard in very long hours. Ultimately, those people define the notion of service.
Oh, yeah.
I want to thank, of course, the many people who have helped me. The people who have volunteered, the people who have given me advice.
He thinks he was just elected to the presidency.
Who have offered me good ideas.
It's like an acceptance speech.
My gratitude to my family, to my mother and father who instilled in me the values that carried me this far.
The values.
To my brother Jason, and of course to my wife Huma, who has stood with me through this entire difficult period, and to whom I owe so very much.
Send Fredo off to do this. Send Fredo off to do that. Let Fredo take care of some Mickey Mouse nightclub somewhere. I can handle things. I'm smart. Not like everybody says. Like dumb. I'm smart and I want respect.
Yep. He was the Fredo of the Democrat Party and they had to get rid of him. He was not there for them. And I believe they pulled the trigger on him. I don't believe the blogger found these on his own. I believe that someone in the Democrat Party used someone to send it to the blogger who is now grandstanding himself, the smear artist who released these pictures, who's now holding himself up like he's Walter Winchell. But he's more like a windshield wiper than Walter Winchell, as far as I'm concerned. I mean, the blogger who did this to this guy is no better than him. He's like a windshield wiper, that blogger, who's smearing pigeon dung off a windshield, as far as I'm concerned. Brian in New York, if you want to comment on this sad mess, the downfall of a human being is not pleasant to watch. It is actually sad. I mean, the proper emotion here is one of sadness. This man is deranged. I'm glad he's gone. He should have just sent a letter of resignation and spared us this grandstanding. But you could see the derangement in the man. He got up there, brand new tie, brand new shirt. Robert Hall this season will give you the reason. Low overhead. That was unbelievable to me. The man got up there like he was an acceptance speech that he just won a prize. Listen to clip two.
It is particularly humbling to represent this district because the communities and families of the 9th Congressional District are hardworking, they're patriotic,
well,
they're opinionated, they are authentic.
Wait a minute, stop it. It's patriotic to hate America? It's patriotic to hate Republicans? It's patriotic to hate the police? It's patriotic to hate the military? That's the district he represented. And they love him there, by the way. Brian in New York on WOR, you're the first up. What do you think of this charade?
I'm glad he resigned. He is a despicable creature, in my opinion. And I think that the Senate Democrats in New York State Legislature and the Republicans that run it and the Democrats who run the Assembly are going to eliminate his seat because
why?
New York State is losing two congressional seats.
Oh, my God. That's an interesting analysis. So you think they're just going to eliminate this seat because he's gone anyway?
Yeah, because they'll protect the remaining Democrats.
Wow. Well, you got me there. I thought they would run his wife, Huma. You know, since she's a woman, a Muslim, and the same last name, I mean, you know, it's brand identity.
No, they're going to eliminate one Republican congressional seat and one Democrat, and that's his seat.
Wow, my listeners, God bless them, they're so great. Don't you agree with me, though, that the man could have just done this through a letter rather than another preposterous grandstanding event such as this? Didn't this show us that the man learned nothing and that he's somewhat deranged?
Yes, absolutely. He's, like I said earlier, he's a despicable.
He loved the attention. No matter how the attention comes at him, he can't run away from the spotlight. Even the negative attention is attention for him.
Well,
this is like a nymphomaniac who cannot control herself. The man is sort of the same. He has the same type of mania for publicity.
Yeah. Protégé.
Let me ask you something. What kind of job do you think, not that he's fit for, we could have all sorts of jokes about that. What do you think he'll do now that he's thrown out of Congress for this kind of perversion?
I mean, he will.
I mean, the joke I told, CNN must be bidding for him, and so is Roger Ailes. But aside from that joke, what do you think he can actually find?
I don't think anyone in their right mind will hire this guy.
How about a greeter in Las Vegas? You see, you're laughing. I mean, he can make probably $150,000 a year as a greeter in Las Vegas. Maybe. Tell me who wouldn't want to have... Well, I wouldn't say shake his hand. Pardon me. They'd have to give out rubber gloves every time someone came by. But let's say not shake hands. He'd have to keep his hands to himself. But he could be a greeter, let's say, at the Bellagio. Who wouldn't want to go and see the guy? There he is. There's the Pharisee, Anthony Weiner. I'll be right back.
Savage.
About 20 years ago, I stood in this very same room here at the Council Center and asked my neighbors for their help to take a chance on me in electing me to the City Council. Then some 7 years later, I asked those same people to join with people in Queens in sending me to Congress. There is no higher
honor
in democracy than being sent by your neighbors to represent them in the United States House of Representatives.
Now, I ask you, is this the mark of an intelligent man? Is this the mark of a sane man? It's a deranged man. It's not about what he did. It's the fact. Don't you see his behavior post the fact of the twittering of his private part photo? Don't you see the behavior as that of a deranged man? Wouldn't a normal man do this silently, resign through a letter rather than another press conference? How many different ways do I have to say to you liberals, of course what he did was not unto itself that perverse compared to what some do. I understand that. And you could also make the argument that what he does behind closed doors is his business. I would accept that. But please hear my point of view. He does not know how to protect himself. How can he protect America? He does not know how to protect himself. How can he protect us against the communist Chinese who are, as I am talking with you, providing counterfeit electronic parts for our airplanes, counterfeit electronic parts for our tanks and for our ships. It came out yesterday, a little-known hearing in the midst of all of this madness, that the Democrats forced the Defense Department to buy electronic parts from China. China's now providing America with counterfeit parts that may or may not work, that could destroy some of our machines of war. And I'd like to know who in the U.S. Senate authorized this and whose husband of who in the U.S. Senate might have profited from this. Wouldn't you think that's a reasonable investigation? Yeah, you really would think it, wouldn't you? That's what we should be looking into. Which U.S. senator on the Senate Armed Services Committee, if that's the place that he or she sits, would have said the Department of Defense should outsource electronic parts to China for airplanes, tanks, and ships? And then which American company got the contract? And are any of those companies related to that U.S. senator? Because if it turns out to be, as I suspect, they should both be tried for treason. But you don't even know what I'm talking about. Here's another story that you're not hearing about. It's on my website. Did you know that 1 out of 15 children born in America in 2008 had an illegal immigrant parent? 1 out of 15 children born in this country is from an illegal parent. Now, many of you think that most of them are of a Hispanic background. But did you know that many of them are of upper-class Chinese background who are flying into the United States and going into private clinics and having their babies in order to make sure that the Chinese babies take advantage of citizenship laws? Did you know about that? You didn't know about that. Now, what does that have to do with Anthony Weiner? Everything and nothing. A knee-jerk liberal like Anthony Weiner would say that the 14th Amendment says it all. You cannot regulate pregnant foreign visitors, and that anchor babies are perfectly legal because he's afraid of discrimination. That's what a knee-jerk liberal like Anthony Weiner would say to his grave. But a rational person would say, Anthony Weiner, but don't you see that they're taking advantage of these laws. They're coming here in the ninth month of pregnancy or the eighth month, and they're dumping babies on our shore simply so they can become citizens, Anthony Weiner. He would say, I don't care, because it's my agenda is such that that's fine. Once you start discriminating, we don't know where it'll end. Holocaust! Holocaust, Hitler, Holocaust! You don't understand the madness of liberals. You really don't understand the madness of psychopathic liberals. You don't understand them. I grew up with them. I know how sick they are. You don't understand how lunatics, what lunatics these people are. You have no idea how sick they are. They're mentally deranged. Now, again, I brought up two new topics mixed in with Weiner. One, electronic parts for our airplanes, tanks, submarines, ships are being made in China, and they're defective. Which U.S. senator authorized this, rather, and forced the DOD to do this? And did this U.S. senator benefit from this through the back door, through a spouse who got the contracts? You don't know anything about it. There were Senate hearings on it. It came and went yesterday because we're focused on Anthony Weiner Schmigegi. Now you understand what I'm talking about, what these people are like, these liberals? Okay, you want to talk about any of this? Again, I hope you heard me. What he did unto itself was not that grave a perversion. And as I say to you, even perverts can be extremely good at their jobs. And who amongst us has not done things they're not embarrassed about? And who amongst us would not say that the surgeons we go to for brain surgery, who cares what they do after hours? I don't. What do I care what the guy does? It's his business. In that sense, I'm a sexual libertarian. I always have been. I've told you that 1,000 times. It doesn't matter whether the enemies of the truth will try to typecast me. So it's not about his act of this or that. It's about the fact that he didn't have the judgment to see how he could damage himself by sending out pictures of his body. And if he can't even see that, he's not fit to represent the American people, which is why he had to go. Do you understand that? Because you could argue, you go back to J. Edgar Hoover, who had a very rich life, sexual life, allegedly with another man, cross-dressing, but he was a great FBI director. I didn't care what he did. What is the difference? The country under a J. Edgar Hoover was a safer country. I'd rather have a cross-dresser running the FBI than what I have now.
Savage.
You vote yes if you believe yes. You vote in favor of something if you believe it's the right thing. If you believe it's the wrong thing, you vote no. We are following a procedure. I will not yield to the gentleman, and the gentleman will observe regular order. The gentleman will observe regular order.
Well, we heard about the telephone tough guys. Okay, we understand it. And there he is. He's got all of the protection of Congress, you know. A typical lawyer shooting his mouth off, even though he doesn't even have a law degree, thinking he's protected. He's got the protexia of Congress, so he opens his big yap. He thinks he's still in the gutters of Brooklyn, and he starts screaming at the other people, thinking he can win through intimidation. And this is what happened. He has sowed the, you know, what they say, if you sow the whatever, this is what happened. As you sow, shall you reap. Washington State, Fred, you're on the Savage Nation.
Can you ever
I'll get like this? Joe in New York, line 2, go ahead, please.
Michael, I live in Rockaway, where this Congressman W is part of, Rockaway Beach in Queens. And I just got to tell you, the D next to his name doesn't stand for Democrat. It stands for delusional. And I've been taking a poll the last couple of weeks asking my liberal lunatic friends, what if this was a conservative? What if this was a Republican? And do you know that most of them have told me if it was a Republican, they would vote him out and they'd want his head on a platter. But because he has a D next to his name, he should stay. It's absolutely insane.
Joe, but that's how communists work. Communists will support their own kind no matter what they do. The only time communists turn on their own is when that party member varies from the party line. Only when the Communist Party member dares vary from the party line do they get rid of them. Otherwise, they literally tolerate anything they do. I don't think you understand the Democrat Party of today, especially the liberal wing, is a distinct version of the Communist Party USA. There's almost no difference between the agenda of the Communist Party USA and the so-called progressive wing of the Democrat Party. I've studied this intimately, Joe. I wrote about this in Trickle Up Poverty.
Michael Savage.
So what you're looking for is reason and rationality amongst degenerate political animals. These are political animals that are killing America and will kill us all unless they're stopped, frankly. These people stand for nothing short of the destruction of America. I don't care which way they spin it. There is no justification for keeping this dirtbag in office. Even their leader, President Obama, said get rid of him, didn't he? So this is the way to argue with them if you even want to bother. You have to say quietly, if that's the case, then why did President Obama ask him to leave? You may put them in a paradox where they won't know how to answer you. You agree with me, Joe?
I do, and you made a great point last week, Michael, about maybe it's the Democrats that hung this guy out to dry finally. You said it last Thursday, and you had to show early. But
yeah, right. I'm the only one who said that they're behind this, by the way. It's my theory, is that it happened right after he attacked Obama on the 67 borders with Israel. The roof fell in on him. It's like any other structure. A junior member of the organization does not criticize the boss without repercussions.
That's right.
And he got over his head with his hubris and his ego, and he thought because he represented AIPAC and Israel, somehow he had more power than President Obama with regard to the 67 borders. And it was right after that that these pictures were released. We think that they were released by the Democrat Party. I mean, it's a theory. Through third parties, and the dirtbag blogger then ran with them. Suddenly he was a hero.
I think you're dead on.
That's my theory. That's all. It's one theory. 1-800-449-8255, michaelsavage.com. Let's hear clip 24. This is Anthony Weiner a while ago, back in last year, I think.
The gentleman 24. Is wrong. The gentleman is providing cover for his colleagues rather than doing the right thing. It's Republicans wrapping their arms around Republicans rather than doing the right thing on behalf of the heroes. It is a shame. A shame.
A shame. You wouldn't know what shame is, Anthony. This was the 9/11 healthcare funding for first responders, and don't get me started on that. Please don't get me started on how much money was grifted out of that fund by people who were not even injured in 9/11. Do you know how many billions of dollars was sucked out of the tax base? Everyone, the only heroes are the ones who are in the rubble, as far as I'm concerned. I'm sick and tired of hearing about it. Everyone with a uniform isn't the hero. It's the same with the military. Just because you wear a uniform doesn't make you a military hero. And it's the same with the 9/11 responders. It was all about bringing money into New York from the federal tax base, which means from the flyover country. Dallas, Texas. Pete, you're on the Savage Nation.
Hey, Savage. I think this is pretty inevitable. I wouldn't blame the blogger. It's kind of like if Darwin had a congressional Swiffer mop. I think the way Anthony Underweiner was trying to spin this story in his speech was he tried to make it look like he was doing this honorable, courageous act by stepping back from the community that has been so glorified.
Oh, that was his thought. I didn't quite understand it. Why he would even give such a speech?
I don't think it had anything to do with him stepping on Obama's shoes. I think Congress forced him out. You know, it was because they said, hey, you get out now before you make the election of 2012 look like the election of 1994.
Well, of course, he is the poster boy and will continue to be so right through the election. The Republicans have to be fools not to run tape of Anthony Weiner and make a point to the American people that he's a liberal Democrat of the progressive variety. I would certainly recommend that they continue to use this right through the election. Will they do so? Absolutely not. The Republican Party today is run by Republicans of the Governor Nelson Rockefeller stripe, the check pants, country club Republican types, as epitomized by Mitt Romney. And of course, I would take Romney over Obama. But God in heaven, that's not the choice I would make if I had the choice. Thank you for the call. New York, WOR, Pauline, go ahead. You're on the Savage Nation.
Yes, Michael, I just wanted to make a comment regarding the Democratic Party. Whenever I see a D next to a congressman's name, basically I just think that that's the party of deceit, deception, and degenerates. And the reason that I say that is whenever a politician is caught up in a scandal, they basically try to explain it away, whereas if a Republican is caught in a scandal...
Well, let's not put Republicans on a platter. I mean, I'm not going to go along with that, please. Okay, they don't put it on a... They also will hang in there until they know that the jig is up. But the fact of the matter is, Anthony Weiner stayed well beyond his allotted shelf space. I mean, his package expired 2 weeks ago, to put it in the terms of what happened here. That package expired 2 weeks ago. It was soiled and should have been thrown into the dumpster 2 weeks ago. All right, 1-800-449-825. You have anything else that's original to say on this, go ahead and say it. Al-Qaeda put out a hit list now of Americans, and now the government won't release it. You hear this? Wouldn't you like to know who's on that list? The U.S. government releases a story saying Al-Qaeda website publishes hit list of Americans, but for your sanity, they're not going to release the names. Isn't that a wonderful government? So it's your government blackmailing you. What do you mean they're not going to release it? They have an obligation to release it. Al-Qaeda website publishes hit list of Americans, and the U.S. government says we're not releasing the list for your sanity. Do you think the FBI is correct? It says the FBI has notified those individuals who were named. Oh, that's new. I didn't see that earlier. The list includes leaders in government, industry, and media. NBC New York will not identify them or their companies. The list of those targeted includes Wall Street firms, political leaders, leaders with think tanks, and contractors who do business with the military. How did they get these names? The Al-Qaeda website contains 40 specific names of people, 26 of them with photos attached, and they call for posting home addresses. One jihadist called for sending package bombs to any listed address as just one possibility. There you go. I can guarantee you that the left wing in this country is celebrating this. New York, George, you're on the Savage Nation from WOR. Go ahead.
Yeah, Mike, I'll tell you why he's doing what he's doing today with his press conference, because he wants the publicity. And, you know, I guess he wants to run for mayor and something, and he'll probably get it because New York's a corrupt city. And also because...
No, he can't. Wait, please stop it, please. He can't run for mayor. No one in the world but you thinks he could run and win. He can't run for mayor. This is a deranged individual. Didn't you see a man deranged who thought he was actually giving an acceptance speech rather than a resignation speech?
Well, he knew it. Now you'd be talking about it all day like you're doing. That's why.
All right, your mind is not computing properly. It must be. What month is this? June, and it's the 16th. And the meds, he should still have meds. The caller should still have meds on the 16th. It's not the 30th where they run out. It's the 16th. They still have the meds, don't they, this time of the month? 1-800-449-8255. Mississippi. No one's commenting on my questions, which is, do you believe that they will run his wife for his seat? Did it sound like a concession speech to you? How did you feel about Weiner thanking his parents for giving him values? Do you think it's coincidental that Weiner resigned a day after his wife came back from Africa? They never heard of email? I love that they built it up for 2 weeks. They're waiting till she comes back. They never heard of email. They never heard of a telephone. Will they run his wife Huma to fill the seat? Now that Weiner has resigned, how do you feel about the blogger who originally posted the pictures? Do you feel he's a reputable man? Do you think he's a good man? Or do you think he's as dirty, if not dirtier, than Congressman Weiner? Do you believe that Weiner's photos were obtained ethically? Do you think it's telling that Weiner's wife Huma has yet to put out a statement about Weiner's Twitter scandal? All right, these are important questions, but all right, you don't want to answer them. Mississippi Mike, you're on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Yeah, Mike, I was going to run this theory by you. What do you think that Weiner's wife might be taking a play from the Hillary playbook? Husband gets caught in a sex scandal. A couple years later, she's a candidate for the presidency.
Well, Huma's not going to run for the presidency, but I already said that she's going to run for his seat. Did you hear that?
No, sir, I didn't hear that.
Well, that's what I started the show with. It's on michaelsavage.com. It's my lead story. It's Will Huma Run. So I guess he agrees with me. New York, WOR Joe, you're on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Yeah, the reason he should have done a Blagojevich, but they got to him, and they made him resign because they would have had hearings, and wonderfully moral people like Bonnie Frank and Nancy Pelosi would have been pointing fingers at him. But they got to him. If it was him alone, he would have stuck it out. But because he has a wife who has a career left, he jumped on. He took the poison, so to speak. That's my thinking on it.
You think he threw himself on the sword to preserve his wife's job with Hillary?
I'm definite. That's the way that goes. Yes. Because
so, in other words, they said to him behind closed doors, "I'm going to make it real easy for you, Anthony. Either you quit, or your wife's going to get fired. You'll both have nothing."
That's how it goes down in the Big Apple.
That's possible. But, well, okay, so let's say you're a cynic and a realist. Do you concur with my suspicion that she could run to fill his seat?
I think so. She's a very strong, silent type. And, you know, maybe not.
And she's
now.
A woman and she's a Muslim. I mean, what could be better?
It's a very multicultural area.
Yes, and how liberal can you get? I mean, wouldn't that be liberal of them?
But I think so. I think, but it's a little hot now, so I don't know. Maybe it could go either way right now, but if you wait 90 days, maybe.
Let me ask you something. The gerrymandered district that Congressman W. represented, what is the predominant ethnicity of that gerrymandered district?
Well, I would say that it's very multicultural. It's very Arabic now. But it's also very, it's still very Jewish, it's still very Italian, it's still very working class. It's a lot of people pushing the engine now, so to speak, with the money.
But originally that district was predominantly Jewish years ago. Now it's become multicultural with a high number of Arabic folks, Middle Eastern folks living in that area.
There's also a lot of Russian people, too. A lot of
Does he represent Brighton Beach?
Yes.
Oh, boy. Oh, no wonder they love him there. No wonder they love him. Mm-hmm. Well, all right, there it is. That's the power play of the day. I'll be right back.
Savage.
Gentlemen, it's record.
And listen to my colleagues say, oh, if only I had a different procedure that allows us to stall, and then vote no. Instead of standing up and defending your colleagues and voting no on this humane bill, you should urge them to vote yes, something the gentleman has not done.
So the gutter rat went to Congress. It's not Mr. Smith goes to Congress. It's gutter rat goes to Congress. He debases the institution below the level it was already at. And now he gets up there during the resignation speech like he's doing America a favor and he's Mr. Dignity. All right? I mean, it's crazy. But my fundamental theory is that the Democrats may have been behind this. That's number one. And number two, I'm guessing who will fill a seat. There's a likelihood his wife could do it. How do I know? She was awfully silent. She hasn't said a word. What's that all about? Where is she in all of this? Why is she invisible in this issue? Esther in New York, what do you think? Why is Huma invisible in all of this?
Anybody that's entrenched with the Democratic Party, which I believe Huma is, would be in a position, the inner sanctum of Wiener, to get information that can provide a blogger with bad stuff about him. I believe that she set him up.
Wait, whoa. His own wife set him up? Why?
Yes. Oh, that's because she's entrenched with heavy-duty Democrats like the Clintons. And I believe...
Well, hold it. Slow down. This is all gossip now. Now we're getting purely into gossip. So your theory is that his wife set him up because the Clintons and the Democrats wanted him gone. What's the reason for that? Why would they want him gone?
Absolutely. I believe that this administration would...
Well, you're not answering me, but why would they have wanted to get rid of him?
It's not just him, my friend. I believe it's any Caucasian politician that has power, like he had a very big mouth.
Oh, now you're drifting. You're drifting.
No,
this is already
drifting,
this is already this is purely paranoid racism.
No,
now the Democrats are out to destroy any Caucasian politician.
Well, let's just say that I believe that politicians that have been in positions of authority with a lot of power and
right, now I'm getting a stomach ache already. I just got an anxiety attack. I have to reach for some homeopathic calming gum. I mean, I'll indulge the audience up to a point. But, you know, when you start to drift into overt racial paranoia, I can't go there, you know. Here's someone calling on a much more important topic. Thank God he heard me. Patrick in Florida. Go ahead, please.
Yo, Michael, I was thinking along the lines, what if the Chinese are selling us parts that make the ships run, but unbeknownst to us, who's to say that they're tracking the fleet, tracking where we are?
Of course they are, but I have a bigger question. There was a quick hearing by Doofus McCain and that other jerk from Michigan, Levin, on parts, counterfeit parts, electronic parts, that the DOD was forced to outsource to China. And, of course, the worry was not only were they defective, but also they were manufactured so they could monitor or even destroy our planes in mid-flight or sink a ship or make the ship go dead or whatever, tracking devices. I want to know who in the U.S. Senate forced the DOD to send this contract to China and which American companies may have benefited from this. That's all I want to know. I think that this will go to the entire heart of what's bringing America to its knees. In the 50s, there was a movie that was written based on a play written by Arthur Miller called All My Sons. And the actor was Edgar G. Robinson. He plays in World War II, a manufacturer of airplane engines. And he cuts corners in making the engine to make a higher profit. He cuts corners in making the engine. As the story turns out, his own son goes into the military and dies in a fighter plane because the engine blew up during an engagement with the enemy. So he killed his own son through his greed. It's a metaphor written by the great playwright Arthur Miller. You're telling me that there aren't sitting U.S. senators and congressmen who are not doing the exact same thing to our country today? And I would say to you, I'd like to root them out. I would say to you, this is a golden opportunity for the FBI to investigate who authorized or insisted that the DOD outsource electronic parts to China. If you unravel that one, you have a chance to save this country.
Savage.
Warning. The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Again, apologize for the personal mistakes I have made. I had hoped to be able to continue the work that the citizens of my district elected me to do. Unfortunately, the distraction that I have created has made that impossible. So today I am announcing my resignation from Congress.
Yeah! Bye-bye, pervert!
Oh, God. All right. Well, look, it's a sad day. I mean, where does Anthony Weiner go from here? He is not a lawyer. Thank God for that. Or he'd go back to practicing law, since there are no ethics in the legal profession these days. He would not be forced to give up his law license just for showing his private parts. And if you just tuned in, let me put it in context again. What he actually did on the scale of 1 to 100 is not that high a crime in terms of perversion. That's number one. But that's not the issue, is it? The issue is that he didn't have the judgment nor the self-respect to not do it. Do you understand that? Do you understand the differential here? Of course perverts can be very effective individuals in their chosen profession. We don't know what our brain surgeon does after hours, nor should we care. It's his business or her business, not ours. However, if the man cannot protect himself, I keep reiterating this, if a man can't protect himself, how can he protect America? Now, that leads me right to the next story, which I try to introduce in the last hour. I found this yesterday, put it up on michaelsavage.com. There was a minor little hearing, a blip. McCain and Levin held a tiny little hearing about counterfeit electronic parts for U.S. airplanes and other military devices being made by China. I have been asking all day today who in the U.S. Senate instructed the Department of Defense to outsource these parts, and did they benefit through the back door of a business relationship that one of their spouses or relatives may have had involved with China? That's a topic that the FBI should be looking into. Now, there's a problem that all of us can agree, Democrat or Republican, needs to be looked into. Portland, Ted, you're on the Savage Nation.
Yeah, Michael. I'm an electronics expert and a construction expert. And my wife's first cousin is a contractor. He just sold his firm. Mm-hmm. He makes replacement chips for chips that are no longer available for avionics for aircraft.
Right.
The engineers are in Singapore. Worse than that, I had a subcontract with the Office of the Director of National Intelligence to write a report on cybersecurity at the missile defense site out in the
right.
Aleutian Islands.
Yes.
And the Air Force found I was involved. They refused to let me on the Air Force base.
Why?
Because the equipment I installed has no cybersecurity. It has to be checked yearly. And if it's ever put on the Internet, it'll give the Chinese the capability of controlling the missile defense system from Peking.
Wait. You mean you said that that's what would happen, and because of that, the Air Force banished you?
That's right.
So, in other words, the Air Force is now in cahoots with communist China?
Half the flag off.
Oh, my God. How did this happen? Ted, how did this happen?
I had a contract.
That the upper echelon of the U.S. Air Force is now complicit with China. Are they receiving kickbacks?
No, I think it's just ignorance. Ignorance.
You mean they're so stupid that they think if it's more cost-effective, it's better?
Well, the reason for the Singapore designs was strictly cost. I don't think it had anything to do with anybody from Congress. It's strictly cost. And,
so we have dummies in the upper echelon of the U.S. military.
Got it. You got it.
They can't even figure out that by letting these parts be made by China that they may be sabotaging the aircraft. They can't figure that out.
No, they know that can happen. They don't. That nobody cares.
Nobody cares.
Photomicrographs of doctored chips that the Air Force ran. They know it can be done, and nobody really cares about it.
I can't. You know, I'm actually flabbergasted. I believe the country has basically been taken over by China then.
You know who the Office of the Director of National Intelligence is?
Who?
The ODNI.
Office no, I'm saying who's the head of that department?
It's part of the National Security Agency.
Yeah, I understand what you said. Do you know who ODNI is? Who is it?
I don't know what his name is. I was dealing with a subcontractor to a contractor that had a contract with.
Oh, well, we're looking. You know, really, this is the job for the FBI, not for me. So that's why we're focused on Anthony Weiner Shmigegi. What now? What will he do now? He could become a shamus in a pickle factory. That's a definite possibility, given the makeup of his district. He could have an offer already from one of the religious groups in his area where they would offer him a job as a shamus in a pickle factory, or perhaps somebody else could offer him a job as a greeter at the Bellagio or another hotel in Las Vegas. Or he could go to work for a clothing company. Look how nicely he dresses. Can you? No, he's a real prize for Brooklyn, Queens, his own people. A real prize for the Jewish people is Anthony Weiner. I know you're not supposed to say it, but boy, did he just give Jews a black eye. Not only the perversion, not only the crying, but the behavior from top to bottom, just what the Jews needed. Between Bernie Madoff and Anthony Weiner, a real plus over the last few years. 1-800-449-8255. Lot to talk about in the Savage Nation. You know the questions. Sacramento, Brad, you've got the answer. Go ahead, please.
Yeah, Michael, I wanted to weigh in on the China DOD contract. And you had mentioned a gentleman named Henry Kissinger yesterday. I believe that if you unwind this whole situation, that you will find him behind this all.
Well, you don't have any reason to really state that. You just suspect that, correct?
I absolutely suspect it. Absolutely.
Only because you know that Kissinger is a Machiavellian, a Metternich type, who cares not for his country but for his own self.
For his own pocketbook, right. And you can.
But he's not the only one who cares only about his pocketbook, not the country. The concept of a sovereign nation is alien to a good percentage of those in our Congress. Wouldn't you agree? I would go a step further and say that President Barack Obama represents that breed of politician who does not have a country. That man represents the international body of rulers rather than a nation called America.
No, I would agree with that fully. But yesterday you mentioned the fact that it was Kissinger who opened up China to America. And
yes, it was Kissinger who led Nixon by the nose into doing the open door policy with China. But since then, he's become very, very wealthy as a deal maker. But that doesn't mean, therefore, that we should say that it was Kissinger's front companies who have benefited from these counterfeit parts in our airplanes. We can't say that.
We can't, but I can speculate, and I.
Well, we can speculate, but the FBI should investigate. And if it turns out it is, then there should be an indictment, if it's him or anyone else, for treason. Period. What the hell are treason and laws of treason on the books for? But for a thing like this. I want to play for you a soundbite again. For those of you who remember Arthur Miller or know his work, he wrote this great play called All My Sons. Again, it's in World War II. And it was Burt Lancaster and Edgar G. Robinson. Burt Lancaster is one of the sons whose brother just died in an airplane fighting in World War II because the father made an airplane engine for the military, but he cut corners to make a higher profit. Listen to Burt Lancaster in All My Sons.
What kind of a man are you anyway? Kids hanging in the air by those cylinders, and you knew it. Oh, I was so proud of you. You were helping us to win, and you were worried about your business. Don't you have a country? Don't you think about people? Don't you live in the world? Haven't you got a heart? Oh, what must I do to you? What must I do to you?
Don't you have a country, asks the character played by Burt Lancaster. Don't you have a heart? And remember who wrote this? It was Arthur Miller, who was a left-wing playwright, but loved America, a patriotic left-winger, which existed then and doesn't exist today. In those days, you could be left-wing and patriotic. Not today. Today, left-wing means enemy of America. I'll be right back.
Savage.
I wish Representative Wiener and his lovely wife well. Obviously, it's been a tough incident for him. But I'm confident that they'll refocus and he'll refocus and they'll end up to being able to bounce back.
That means they already gave him something. It was all worked out behind closed doors. He wouldn't leave. He held on until they gave him some assurances that they would give him something. And that's what they did. That's the way it works. That's how a system works. As I said, we're guessing. We the little people can only guess. We don't really know. He could become a shamus in a pickle factory, for example, to make certain that the pickles are of a certain variety and status. And that could be a lucrative job in a Brooklyn, Queens district, the shamus in a pickle factory. Nothing disrespectful about it. He wears a nice suit. Look how nice he makes a Windsor tie. I mean, anyone who goes to Plattsburgh, would you expect a guy who goes to SUNY of Plattsburgh to be able to dress so nice? Weren't you proud of him today? Looked like he was going to a wedding. He thought it was an acceptance speech that he was just made senator or president. I never heard a man so disconnected from reality. Where's the wife, though? I mean, let's stop being, you know, comedic in the political arena for 2 seconds. Where is the wife? Why didn't she stand beside him? Where was she? She's been invisible, the woman. Something is going to come up very soon that will explain it all. Okay? That's all. 1-800-449-8255, Kansas City. Daniel, welcome to the show. What do you want to talk about?
I want to talk about the Chinese microchips, Doc Savage. I was in an intelligence course, and my instructor related to me a story about early 80s. Soviet intelligence had penetrated some certain electronics factories in the United States, and the National Security Branch, FBI, became aware of it. Instead of arresting them, they put U.S.-made custom chips into that flow, so they would move into the Soviet Union and then be emplaced in the Soviet gas pipeline network. Then several years later, at the time of our choosing, we caused a disaster over in the Soviet Union.
Oh, my God. So China's doing that to us now.
Yes, we know this technique. We're the most advanced at it. At least there's loyal people inside the government that know that this exists. You know,
no, of course, but that's what McCain and Levin were talking about yesterday. But I want to know who in the DOD or who in the legislature forced the DOD to outsource these electronic chips to China, number one, and did they profit from it through a company owned by a spouse? Don't you think that's a valid question?
Of course it is. These are, for normal little people like you and me, you buy a night vision device, some pathetic little piece of equipment.
Yes.
And they say, oh, there's export controls on this. You can't ship this overseas. One suit of body armor, you can't ship this overseas or sell it.
Right.
The FBI will break down your door for that.
Yes, right.
But if you're Bernard Schwartz at Loyal Space Technologies, if you remember him.
Oh, yeah. Bernie Schwartz, what a good man. Another one from the Bronx. Who created Loral Space Technologies. I remember this like it's embossed in my brain. And he was the first one to give China the ability to launch their rockets with U.S. technology into space in order to launch satellites. They then turned around and used it for military applications.
Yes, and blowback from that, people can look at they have a weapon system called the Dongfang 21. And it's now almost accurate enough for a medium-range ballistic missile to hit an aircraft carrier at 2,000 miles. Thank you, Bernard Schwartz. You're a real American hero.
Well, I'm not a hero, but I'd like to know why Bernard Schwartz was never investigated. Where is Bernard Schwartz today? Who is he in business with? Who is he in business with? Does he know Anthony Weiner very well? Is he one of his donors? Why don't we look into the donor list? 1-800-449-8255. Robert on WOR in New York. Go ahead, please.
Hey, Michael, I need your help. I don't understand why the Democrats wanted Weiner to resign. I mean, it seems when Clinton was in office, he was just like Weiner. He had a bunch of perverted thoughts, but he was way worse. He actually acted on them. And then he, like Weiner, got up and lied on television, but was way worse, and lied under oath about it. But nobody was asking for him to resign.
Well, I think there are subtle and overt differences between what Bill Clinton did and what Weiner did. Okay, they both lied. But if you add, I'm sorry, this is a very hard one for people to grasp, but I have a different view of it. What Clinton did with a woman, yes, he committed adultery, but it was actually more human than what Anthony Weiner did. What Anthony Weiner did is something disembodied from humanity. Do you understand that it seems more bizarre to the average person than what Clinton did? It's a strange statement to make. I don't think people can grasp what I'm saying. There's a difference between a man with a woman and a man with himself. This guy is a narcissistic man who was out of control with, not in touch with reality. Clinton was very much in touch with reality. I say there was a difference there. In terms of their politics, probably the same. Men without countries, as far as I can tell. But that's one man's opinion. Florida, Jim, you're on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Yes.
Go ahead. Jim, you're on the air.
Yes, I believe the Republicans and the Democrats have sold this country right down the tubes.
Well, that's a general statement, but we're talking about specifics here, which is the outsourcing of computer chips used in our military machinery to China, and some of these parts are counterfeit and defective. That's what we're talking about. We can't say Democrat or Republican until we know who it is who encouraged or forced the DOD to do this. Jim.
Yes, sir. I served proudly in the U.S. Air Force from 71 to 77.
Right.
And I'm the head of the Air Force. I could see that going on. Any of the Department of Defense. I could also see the Attorney General of this country coming down with some kind of crap like that.
But until we know who did this, the Attorney General has nothing to do with this. Until we know who it is in Congress forced the DOD, or did the DOD do it itself? We don't know. But I would say that this requires a full congressional investigation. I would encourage the people to demand, well, the people, forget it. No matter what you demand, doesn't matter. You have no role in your government anymore. It's not a government of the people, by the people, and for the people. It's a government of the special interests, by the special interests, and for the special interests. And you can fool all of the people all of the time. Absolutely, Abe Lincoln has been turned on his head. You can fool all of the people all of the time today. There's no question about it.
Savage.
Who's got the ding dong? Who's got the bell? Who's got the ding dong? Who's got the bell? Somebody know, but nobody tell. Cause somebody bad stole the wedding bell.
Yep, who stole the ding dong? Who stole the bell?
We got sarsaparilla soda.
Welcome to the Savage Nation. I mean, these are golden days for radio. The country is melting down because of the degenerates and the traitors. Speaking of which, we just found something that may be of interest to you in the audience. We were talking about Loral Space and Technology, Bernard L. Schwartz, the former head of the DNC. Remember those days during Bill Clinton? China was trying to launch rockets into space to launch satellites. They couldn't do it. Their rockets were blowing up on the launch pads. Bernard L. Schwartz somehow got the government technology. We had rockets that could be aimed very accurately. He gave the technology to China on the supposition that China would use the rockets to launch satellites for his company at a lower price than American companies could launch satellites with their rockets. I think it was Hughes Space and Technology was the only company able to launch rockets into space that would, you know, fly satellites in orbit. Bernie Schwartz gave the technology to China. China said they would only use it for domestic, non-military purposes. We woke up next to them using it for military purposes, as we could have predicted, unless we were Anthony Weiner or another so-called progressive who sees only evil in America and only good in our adversaries. We just learned that Bernard L. Schwartz, through BLS Investments and company, in 2009 gave $2,400 to Weiner Anthony D. Now, unto itself, that's nothing. He's one of many people who contributed to the sterling congressman. Let's go to Michael in New York on WOR. Go ahead, please.
Yeah, I am not just a conservative. I'm an ultra-conservative. And I totally agree that what Weiner did was wrong. But what Governor Walker of Wisconsin did, I feel, was worse. He had a big contributor. The contributor had a son that the governor gave a job.
All right, it's too complicated. We can't listen to it. It's going to be like a cockamamie story. So what's your point?
I'm telling you the truth. His son is a college.
Oh, wait a minute. All right, so the governor did something where his son benefited, and?
Well, and his son got caught twice by the state police driving dead drunk. On top, and he gave him a job for $85,000. On top of that, he gave a fellow Republican's mistress, who never put in for a job, he gave her a job.
Okay, so why is it that Anthony Weiner has attracted the attention of the American people across all political boundaries? Why?
What I'm trying to say, Michael, is the Republicans and the Democrats, like you say, both stink to holy.
Oh, all right, I believe we can make those generic statements, but you have to ask yourself, why did the Weiner scandal grip the American people now for the last 3 weeks? Why?
And what Walker did wasn't slutty.
Again, back to Walker. Don't know Walker from Jim Beam. Okay, stop with Walker already. Answer a question, if you don't mind. Why did the Weiner scandal grip the American people and not Walker?
Say that again?
That's enough already. I've had enough. That takes the cake. You know, I have enough trouble in my life right now, other than callers who are half deaf. I'm regrowing my beard. I shaved it off. Then I went through a phase for 2 months without a beard. I don't know if you know what it's like as a man to regrow a beard. It actually itches in the first week. I made the mistake once before when my children were young. They called the police. They came home. I had a beard when they were born. Till they were 7, 9 years old, they only knew a father with a beard. Then one day I got a bug up my, and I shaved the beard off. They came home from school. They screamed and called the police. They thought someone broke into the house. So I grew it back. Now I shaved it off again. I went through another phase. Everyone says, oh, you look 10 years younger. You look better. They were lying. Who says you look? All right. So anyway, I'm saying I'm itching. My beard is itching as I'm doing the show. Bernard L. Schwartz, born December 12, 1926, Brooklyn, New York, was the chairman of the board and CEO of Loral Space and Communications. He started running a parking meter company in New York. That's how smart this man is. Did you know that? He's such a smart boy from Bensonhurst. Oh, you could fell from him how smart he was. That he could take a parking meter company and do a thing like this. You know how smart this man is that he could take a parking meter company and spin it off into Loral Space and Technology and then shaft America like this? Do you have any idea what kind of brains it takes? Aren't you proud of a man like this? that from in 1997 he celebrated his 71st birthday with Bill and Hillary Clinton at the White House. Aren't you proud that Schwartz, although he was embroiled in a controversial transfer of missile technology to China, was exonerated of any wrongdoing after a so-called Justice Department investigation? Did you know that prior to his involvement with Loral, this wonderful human being, Schwartz, was an accountant on Wall Street? Doesn't that tell you that the man is of sterling credentials? Don't you understand that he holds a BS in finance from City University of New York, which is unto itself, a telling unto itself? Isn't this wonderful that the man has created the Bernard L. Schwartz Communication Institute at Baruch College in the City University of New York? Isn't it wonderful that a man of this sterling character has never spent one second paying for his sins against America, in my estimation? Isn't it wonderful he's a member of the board of the New York Film Society? Isn't it wonderful that Democrats have such incredibly loyal, patriotic American people? New York University Hospital Center, he's a trustee. NET, Educational Broadcasting, he's a trustee. I wonder why you have programs like that in New York. He's a trustee of the New School University. Fordham University, benefactor of the Bernard L. Schwartz Center for this and that. Don't you understand how this works? Here in California, we have the World Savings people, wonderful individuals. They sold the company for $23 billion, stocked with bad loans, stocked with mortgages that were worthless. They made $2.1 billion off it. They give to the ACLU. They give to Acorn. Isn't it wonderful to see people come up such hard scrabble ways, hating America from childhood, growing up with such a distemper for America, and being able to take billions of dollars and use it in the way they see fit, which is to undermine the country even further in their senior years? You take a look at those World Savings people. Who are they? Who are they? Held everywhere you turn, their name is on a building somewhere in San Francisco. The arts, the entertainment, science, wherever you turn, there's their name. Basically, Shakespeare wrote about them. Basically, Shakespeare wrote about this individual, this type of individual. So, you know, there's only so much I could do. I saw a movie last night I have to tell you about. If you're looking for a movie for Father's Day, I can recommend two of them. One I told you about already, which is America, America by Ilya Kazan, about a Greek immigrant saga of coming to America. It ends with him kissing the ground at the pier when he gets here after this long journey where almost everything happened to him, right? It's the story of my grandfather and probably your great-grandfather, or perhaps further back if you're a third-generation American. I'm actually a first-generation American. My father was an immigrant. You may not know that, which is maybe why I have such a nativist view of the country. You'll have to forgive me that I'm not so sophisticated that I've learned to hate America yet. You'll have to pardon me that I haven't moved forward in American society to the level of the sophisticates at NYU, where I learned to hate the country. You know, you'll have to pardon me for my nativism. Pardon me. You know, I'm still a Boy Scout. I was the kid who went around the neighborhood with get out the vote cards till 11 o'clock at night, and my father called. The cops didn't know where I was. Pardon me for being an idealistic kid and still loving this country. You'll have to forgive me. I saw a movie last night that I could recommend as well, in addition to that, by Ilya Kazan, who's one of the great directors of all time. The reason he was hated is because he wouldn't become a communist along with the others at that time. So they blacklisted him by saying he was in favor of the blacklist, like they did to Bud Schulberg, one of the great screenwriters of all time. Because Schulberg was once a communist, and then he saw what the Soviets had done to communism. He became an anti-communist. They never forgave Bud Schulberg in Hollywood. See, that's how it works. So Ilya Kazan did another movie in 1957, which I stumbled on last night on one of my favorite channels, TCM, called A Face in the Crowd, played by Andy Griffith. And it's loosely based upon the life. Well, let me put it this way. It's about a drunk hillbilly guitar player who's launched into national fame through radio and television. And he becomes so powerful that at any time, one time he has a TV show, he has a radio show, there are movies he does and books. He becomes so powerful that he can make or break a politician. It reminds me of somebody who was just dismissed from Fox News, by the way, who's setting up his own channel. But the story is there's a little bit of that man in all of us in the media. You got to understand that. You know what I'm saying? There's a little bit of that in all of us. If you analyze it, that's what made the movie so universally appealing. So it's his rise, and who he really was behind the scenes was not the homespun, simple guy. You know, he talked like the Cracker Barrel over a Cracker Barrel to the American people. Along the lines, let's say, of a conservative talk show like Rush Limbaugh. which is not to say Rush is not sincere. I don't know the man. I hear he's a very sincere, wonderful person. But it's not to say that there's anything wrong with him per se. We agree politically on many things, and he's a smart man. But what I'm saying is, behind the scenes, this character, what was his name, Beowulf, the character in the movie? I forgot already. Lonesome Rhodes. Lonesome Rhodes. Incredible writing by Bud Schulberg, directed by Ilya Kazan. And in one scene, you're not going to believe this one, he marries a twirler, a cheerleader, who's 17 in the movie, whose name you may recognize, because this is when her entree into the movie. She was amazing in that part. I forget what her name was as well, but you got to see this movie. Lee Remick, unbelievable. We found out Lee Remick died at age 55 in the 90s of liver cancer. I mean, you look into things, it's very interesting, the arc of human existence. Another movie I recommend is A Face in the Crowd, because it shows human beings for what they are with all of their foibles. And it's somewhat related to the Anthony Weiner thing. Like, on the face of it, Anthony Weiner was, fighting for his district of Brighton Beach. Every day would get up and fight for Medicare and Medicaid and the environment. He'd fight as hard as he could to bring dollars to Sheep's Head Bay, you know. And he carried proudly the memory of the ILGWU, and everywhere he went, he carried the weight of a seltzer bottle on his soul. He himself personally was affected by the Triangle Shirtwaist Fire. I mean, that's what you're going to expect from Anthony Weiner. But behind the scenes, he was taking pictures of his private parts and sending them around to girls. Okay? So, all right. So, as I say, everybody has something, a skeleton in their closet. And I don't mean Red Skelton, because this movie, A Face in the Crowd, was based upon, apparently, allegedly based on the life of Arthur Godfrey. That's a reference to, you have to be over a certain age to even know who I'm talking about. But Arthur Godfrey, what, played the ukulele, and he looked like a homespun guy. He had so many TV shows at one time, two or three shows and movies. Everyone loved Arthur Godfrey. His ratings were like a 50 share at that time. People couldn't wait to watch the man. Behind the scenes, though, he was a big, big drunk and ran after women like crazy. A real nut run around. But, you know, on the face of it, people loved him. And no one knew anything about behind the scenes in those days, because there was no Twitter. There was no Twitter. There was no Facebook. Moreover, I don't think Arthur Godfrey would have taken a picture of himself and sent it to one of the girls. That was the whole dividing line. At least he had common sense on how to protect them. I mean, you know, I grew up in the lore of America of my time. So in many ways, I'm a product of my era and of my time. Proudly so, because I have no choice. Well, I have much choice. I could do anything I want. I could be anybody I want. I can have the values of anybody I want. So let's say I have more traditional values than you might have if you're a progressive who hates the country and wants to see America broken and rolled into the New World Order. Let's say you're a man without a country and a spineless hater of this nation. Let's say that's how you were raised by your parents. Okay? Illegitimate non-coverundum and all of that. The fact is, I grew up on many different influences, and one of them was, I'm fascinated to this day, my family doesn't understand it, I'm fascinated by any movie about gangsters, criminals. I'm just fascinated by the whole lore. Do you think I'm alone with that? How do you think a guy like Martin Scorsese made a career, or Robert De Niro? What do you think they made it on? America's fascinated by that. And it was explained in The Godfather by Puzo, who wrote it, why we all love the Godfather figure, because we know that the courts are corrupt. We know that politicians are corrupt. We know that we can't get justice in the courts, even if we are the injured party. And so we all dream of the tribal elder we could go to, in a primitive sense, Don Corleone, who metes out justice for us in a more dramatic way, for sure, but a more just way than the U.S. courts do, okay? So that's why The Godfather took off. I mean, you analyzed it in that way. But looking at those movies and those books and this and that, you would see how the men of the underworld conducted their lives. They didn't make telephone calls from their house, because they assumed in those days that their phone was being tapped or monitored by the FBI, right? So they made phone calls on a payphone, if they made them at all. Or they walked with a toothpick with a hand over their mouth, and it was comedic in a certain way. But they were doing it for a reason, to protect themselves. They were smart enough to protect themselves. Give them that, right? Now you have a schmuck congressman like this, a weakling putz of the highest order, a moron. I could just tell you as a man what he was like as a boy. I never would have hung around with this yuck. He would have been a real loser. Nobody would want anything to do with him. The guy was a schmendrick, fit only for Congress, and particularly Sheepshead Bay. And here's a guy who takes pictures of himself, revealing pictures of himself, and sends them out not expecting this to happen to him. That is my main point on this. I'm not going to talk about it anymore after this. This is it. I try to explain this today to a Democrat, smart man, smart as a whip. He said, look, he said this to me. He said, a pervert can be a very effective professional. I said, absolutely. No question about it. In other words, being perverted doesn't mean you can't perform your job professionally, whether you be a dentist or a surgeon. You can be a perverted surgeon. Who cares what you do after hours? It's not our business. It's your business, right? That's not the point. The point is the man didn't have the wisdom, the brains to protect himself. And what, Michael? And he sits on committees in Congress to do with our national security, or will sit on them. And he can't understand the danger he's putting us in. Example, hearings about radical Islam in America. You and I both know Anthony Weiner would have been a knee-jerk. How dare you hold a hearing about radical Muslims in America? After all, he's a progressive, and number two, his wife is a Muslim. So he's a right away, you should look into Christians too. After all, they're evil. I guarantee you. I guarantee you 100%. And that's why he was not fit for office. He didn't have what's known as balance. He did not have balance. He was an imbalanced man. Does that put this to rest or not? I'll be right back. Savage. All right. We understand this is over. This will be the last we talk about it today on the Savage Nation. Most Americans are oblivious to actually what went on. I look at them walking in the streets. They don't even know what the scandal is. They would shrug at it and say, big deal, he sent a naked picture of himself. They wouldn't even understand the context. So if I then go to the next step and try to explain that microchips for our airplanes are being outsourced and made in China and they're defective, or China's using them to sabotage our planes or to monitor them or control them, they could care less. Big deal, I'd say. I like Obama. He's a nice man. Better than them Republicans anyway. You know what I mean? Don't think I don't know what I'm dealing with here. New York, WOR, Michael, fire away. You're on the Savage Nation.
All the psych types are wrong, Michael. He's not a sex addict. He's an adulation addict. It's the same theme that affects the former governor of New York, Schwarzenegger. It was said by his former girlfriend that whenever somebody would see him at a restaurant, the woman would come over to him and shove their business cards in his face. That fed his ego. I wouldn't shy from the diagnosis of being a narcissist, but what feeds narcissism is adulation. And why just now would a Jewish person be involved in this is very significant, because this is a parallel to the time that the Jewish people were in Egypt. They had sunk to the lowest level of spiritual defilement, 49th level. If there had been one more moment and they've sunk to the 50th level, God would not have been able to take them out, because they would have been totally assimilated into the immoral lifestyle of the Egyptians. We're told to look at all that happened to us in Egypt to understand what's going to happen in this end time of the final redemption. The Lubavitcher Rebbe, the King Messiah, told us that we should prepare for Mashiach now and prepare everyone around us.
Well, people don't want to go into the Messiah complex right now. That's another kind of complex. Thus far, I've agreed with everything you said. But when you get into the Mashiach complex already, then you're in the... Wiener's an adulation addict. I think the Mashiach addiction is another kind of addiction. Because he was supposed to have come a while ago and he didn't make it. You know, he didn't arrive on time. I went through that whole thing with a few friends who tell me any day he was coming, and the day came. It's like the rapture guy who just got a stroke after it didn't work out, that the world didn't come to an end. You know what I mean? So let's back off a little bit. Let's enjoy a dinner, us, and then Wiener scandal, that's all. What an immature moron, in plain English. Now, how would you like to be his child? How would you like to grow up being his child?
Savage. Warning. The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Well, the big news today is that Congressman Anthony W. announced his resignation from Congress, but instead of just sending in a letter saying I resign because I'm a degenerate pervert, the man gave another press conference, came out in a suit and tie. Nobody can understand this man. But of course, if you go to SUNY at Plattsburgh and you wind up in Congress after, you know, screaming your way in, the headline on MichaelSavage.com asks, will Huma run? Savage asks, will the Democrats run Wiener's wife for his vacated seat? She's a Muslim woman and closely tied to Hillary Clinton. Savage predicts Huma could win in a landslide. Have you seen that anywhere else? Nope. Meanwhile, Obama parties with Republicans. That was last night's picnic. Meanwhile, Obama's unauthorized war costs about $9.4 million a day. Meanwhile, on MichaelSavage.com, one of the most important stories which you haven't heard about. Senators warn of counterfeit electronic defense parts made by China. Can you believe that we have a Senate that has permitted China to make parts for our airplanes, tanks, and ships? Well, you better believe it. I'd like to know which senator permitted this, and whose husband of which senator has profited from this. Check it out. Obama, meanwhile, rewards big bundlers with jobs. After vowing to ban special interests, we learn that he did the exact opposite. You're shocked, aren't you? 1-800-449-8255. Also on MichaelSavage.com, radical Islam infiltrating prisons. Earth headed for a mini ice age, not a hot age. Pelosi's wealth has grown by 62%. Porn star got her 15 minutes of fame. And as I predicted, sadly, the Muslim Brotherhood is in a coalition set to take power in Egypt. Anderson Cooper should be arrested for war crimes for lying to the American people, in my opinion. And so should CNN for having lied to the American people, calling this so-called Arab Spring a revolution of the average person. It's a nightmare. What else is in the news? John Boehner gave Obama until today a deadline on Libya. Obama set up yours. U.S. troops in Afghanistan could stay for decades. Trickle up poverty. Healing children naturally. On MichaelSavage.com. Let's go to the bottom of the site. San Francisco Animal Control seeks goldfish ban. Can you believe this? Goldfish ban. School surveys 7th graders on oral sex. A middle school in Massachusetts is under fire for, well, should I read the rest of it? A middle school in Massachusetts is under fire for requiring children to complete a graphic sex survey without parental knowledge or consent. The Rutherford Institute, a civil liberties organization, filed a complaint with the U.S. Department of Education against the Fitchburg School Committee. Can you believe this one? Both students at Memorial Middle School were told they had to complete a youth risk behavior study. And in the study, the girls were asked very, very devious questions, such as, have you ever had oral sex? These are children. These are children who probably don't even know what oral sex is. But it got worse. Adult material delved into even more graphic language. A whole list including birth control pills, condoms. Children, little children being perverted by the teachers today. A spokesmouth for the Centers for Disease Control, as you all know, it's a perverted organization today run by degenerates, denied any involvement in the Fitchburg sex survey. The CDC said only 7 states and 6 urban districts include sexual identity questions on their surveys. Nonsense. But the principal disputed that notion. It was not optional, said the principal, as part of a grant that they applied for, and the district said you have to administer the survey. Can you believe this? So I told you years ago the CDC was taken over by degenerates. I stand by those words. If you don't believe me, read the story for yourself. If you have children, you agree with me. If you're a childless person, you can't even understand what I'm talking about. Read all about it on MichaelSavage.com. Let me take some calls. Las Vegas. Cal, welcome to the program. What's on your mind?
Hi, I wanted to tell you, number one, Joseph Conrad has always been my favorite author, and that you read, you do affect people, because it's very interesting. I've been trying to write what I would have said had I not died at that moment to my children, and I'm entitling that, what I would have said had I not already
died. Oh, my God, so that's very interesting. Yeah, because in other words, before it's too late to get it out.
Exactly, and there's so many things that you have in your mind that are going to be unsaid. Even though I'm writing this, there'll be even more. And I just, you know, I really love your show, and I love the direction that you take me in, which is very often pearls. And that's the other thing. I collect pearls in my life. And when you said the pearl, I mean, just very, very much thinking. And the other thing I wanted to agree with you, I'm a sex therapist in Vegas, and I'm finding people very uninterested in this free sex. I'm finding young men who are becoming impotent because they just don't want to have sex, but rather than say it, their body says it for them. The boredom is creeping into sexuality. I think we're going to eventually, you know, 20, 30, 50 years really go backwards.
So you agree with me that there will be a movement towards this Victorian so-called prudishness again. I think it'll be much faster than that time frame. My guess is it's going to be within 10 years. 10 to 12 years, there's going to be an entire reversal of this libertine, anything goes, let's do it in the road, you know, and the whole sluttiness is going to come to an end as well.
I absolutely see it. My grandson is 22 years old, and he called me the other night to say he's so happy to be sleeping alone. He said, I just feel so great. I'm alone, and I feel comfortable, and I love it. He says, I'm tired of these women. And it's just not him. I mean, my patients are saying the same kind of things.
But when you're a sex therapist, what is the primary thrust of the complaints people bring to you?
Well, primarily I work with couples who are just bored with each other and trying to keep some kind of flame alive. But I also am seeing young men, and this happened interestingly in the 70s, young men who were thinking they were impotent because their body was not responded to a woman coming on to them. And they really weren't. They just were not interested, and their body was reacting rather than their mind.
Well, I remember being taught back in Psych 101 at Queens College, I had a feminist professor, only we didn't know she was a feminist because they were not so self-designated in that time. So she said to us, the human being is the only animal on earth that thinks he is in heat 365 days a year. We didn't even know what she was talking about. And she said most animals go into a sexual heat during certain periods, and the other times they're not interested at all. But man is so beaten to death with advertising and popular mythology that he thinks he's supposed to be ready at a moment's notice, 365 days a year, 24 hours a day, and if he isn't, there's something wrong with him.
Yeah, and it weighs very heavily, especially on young men and young women.
Right, and then the guy thinks he's gay. So then he goes down that road and finds out it's another false loop.
Exactly. I mean, the whole sexuality thing is so confusing and so demanding that it's not even fun anymore. And that's the problem. That's what's happening, and people are going away from it. They're really...
But a lot of people then go into internet porn. Let's be clear. It's a booming business. They give up human beings, and they become a fantasist completely. I bet you see a lot of that, too.
We live in a depersonalized, alienated world. This whole, diversity. When we came to America, when our parents came to America, we merged and we became Americans. Now we're keeping our country fractionalized. You have to keep, you know, your separate entities, your separate diversities. And instead of merging and coming together, we're all separated and alienated. And that's
now that's a little separate, I think, from the concept of sexuality, which is your specialty. Of course, the sexual mores differ by culture as well. I would suspect, though, that most of the immigrants coming into America are far more sexually constrained than the population at large. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, absolutely. I really do. I think they're much.
For example, African cultures are extremely restricted sexually. They're shocked by what they see here. People don't even understand that we are at the bottom of the barrel in terms of sexual behavior. Worldwide, that the very thing we think we are, we're the exact opposite. All of this libertinism is, in fact, a degeneracy of the human spirit. It's not the elevation of the human spirit. And that's all I'm saying is that at some point there's going to be a gradual. Right now I can feel the gradualness moving in the other way, but there's got to be a limit to this. And I think we bottomed out a while ago.
Yeah, I see it. I see it happening. I really do. And maybe you're right. I think maybe it will be sooner than 30, 40 years.
So why are you writing a note to your children about what I wanted to say? Why do you suspect you should? Why do you feel you should do it now?
I was thinking exactly that. There's so much unsaid and undone, and then you're dead and it's too late. So why not put something in writing? I actually have a lot of written things that I've done to them, you know, over the years that I'm going to leave them. But this is the last thing. And
you're very interesting.
Yeah.
It's funny. One of the characters in my novel says, I forget where. It's about terrorism, by the way, my novel, at the end of the day. It's a major terrorist plot that's interrupted by my hero, strangely enough. I don't want to give any more of it away. But in one of the scenes, I have one of the characters saying, for the things that he said that he wished he had not said, for the things he did that he wished he had not done, that kind of thing.
Uh-huh.
And that's, I think that's human life. In other words, can we ever take back some of the things we said that we wish we hadn't said? Can we ever say the things that we wish we had said that we have not said? No, we can't do that.
That's the, you know, Omar Khayyam, the moving finger writes, and having writ moves on, nor all the piety nor wit can move it back or cancel out a line of it. You can never.
No, I never heard that one. I mean, the closest I got to Omar Khayyam was Khalil Gibran.
Yeah, that's one of the beautiful things that he said. You just cannot cancel anything, but you can give what you haven't given, and that's what I'm trying to do.
Oh, well, you mean because there's still time. You don't have to wait for the big deathbed scene.
No. And besides, I probably won't be able to say that much when I'm on the big deathbed.
I know, the big bed. The big bed. Oh, the big bed. Horrible. Horrible. Well, let's not get too depressed right now, Cal. Thanks for calling the show. Hey, I don't mind. This is the Savage Nation.
Savage.
Hi, this is Dr. Savage, your lifestyle coach here. We're going to shift away from politics for the moment and go to what's really important, and that's the personal. If you have a personal question, a lifestyle question, a life coach question that I can help you with, just give us a call at 1-800-449-8255. Remember, people are paying $500 an hour and more for this kind of advice. So if you're lucky enough to get through the call screener and get onto the Savage Nation, you're going to earn some of the best advice you've ever heard right here on the Dr. Savage Lifestyle segment. It is the Savage. No medical calls, please. I'm not going to give any medical advice because A, I'm not a medical doctor, and B, there's too much liability, and C, it's not my problem. No, I mean, call a doctor for that kind of stuff, but I'll deal with the other stuff because I think politics is great. And by the way, every time you ask me a lifestyle question, right, my answers are usually very political because I'm a very political person. I think that virtually everything is political. I can't think of virtually any aspect of a person's life that isn't political in some way. Let's start with the food you eat. If you ask me what I had for dinner and where I ate it, it would eventually devolve or actually evolve or revert to a discussion of politics, whether it's the politics of the where the shrimp came from, the fishing grounds, import quotas on shrimp, that kind of thing. So I'm a political animal. In that regard, everything is seen through a political eye. So when I say to you, I'm going to do lifestyle, don't worry about it so much. It's going to turn right back onto the political situation. Albany, New York. Chris, you're on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Yes, hi, Michael. On a quick personal note, I also had a black standard poodle named Teddy for 14 years. I lost him a few years ago.
God bless him. I hope he's in poodle heaven.
I pray he is, and I pray I meet him. I cannot tell you, and I'm sure you'll agree.
Well, you'll be his pet in the next world. Remember I told you there's somebody. I think it was John Steinbeck who wrote this. I could be mistaken. If I recall correctly, he said that the way it works is that in the next world, we are the pets of our pets, and they treat us the way we treated them.
Well, then he'll treat me good. That was the angel of my life. And
what did you? Is he going to feed you well, or he's got to watch your diet? So what else is on your mind?
I just wanted to say about Mr. Obama, he is the most unbelievable, arrogant, incompetent president we have ever had, and the American.
Well, when he raises up that head and looks down his nose, he reminds me of a foolish college teacher who's insecure.
And I fully believe the American people were scammed when he was elected.
Well, I fully believe. We all know it. I mean, we have most people, not me, I didn't vote for him. America has more voter remorse under this president than any president in history. Missouri. See, as an ex-New Yorker, I never understood why it's to some it's Missouri and to some Missouri. But I'm going to try the political correctness thing. Francesca from Missouri, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Hi.
What's on your mind?
For you.
Yes. What is it?
I am engaged to somebody who was married for 30 years. And I just wanted your opinion on how I'm supposed to stay out of what his life was before and establish our life separate from that. Meaning, you know, he's got kids that are grown.
There's only one answer to that question. The answer is Viagra.
No, that's all good. That's the beauty. That department is...
No, well, I'm just saying, if you can keep the guy focused on that, all the rest of it will fall in place.
Oh, trust me. I've never been with... I mean, I was with somebody... I'm 35. He's 54. And he is the best I've ever been with. There's no Viagra involved, and he's the happiest. We both are, but it's the outside influences.
What do you mean? The ex-wife keeps trying to tamper with the relationship?
Well, no, not the relationship, but it's always the kid, you know, who's 20 and still at home.
Well, but he's a father. Look, this is the problem, Francesca. A man who's older than you, who has a grown family, is still a father. He's going to want to take care of his children, and you can't be so possessive that you don't want to let him even have a relationship with his own children. That's what I'm hearing.
Yeah, I guess I never have.
Isn't it you who is somewhat possessive here? What is your intent, to cut him off from all relationships with his children?
Absolutely not. No.
Well, but that's what's going to happen. If he starts to get that feeling, he's going to get a little, you know, move away from you.
Savage.
Eric Stackelback is a regular on the Savage Nation. He contributes to CBN News, and he's recently written about how we're going to lose Yemen as a stable Middle Eastern state. He joins us today on the Savage Nation to tell us why and how that will impact so-called Arab Spring that is currently going on. Eric, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Hey, Michael. Always a pleasure to be here. Thanks.
Well, tell us what sadly is going on in Yemen.
Well, look, right now, and security sources tell me, Michael, Yemen, in the words of one trusted security source, a guy I call in my book, I quote him in my book as a Jack Bauer type, he tells me that, quote, Yemen is gone. Basically, what you have right now is you have a few weeks ago, Yemen's president, Ali Saleh, he was attacked. His compound was attacked in Yemen. Rockets were fired into the compound. So the president of Yemen was wounded. He had to actually flee, leave the country, go to Saudi Arabia for medical treatment. He was seriously wounded, Michael, and he remains in Yemen today. In Saudi Arabia today. Now, the country was already teetering on the brink of collapse before his compound was attacked. The Obama administration has been calling for him to step down over the past few months. And now you have a real situation where you have the potential for anarchy. There is a leadership void, a leadership vacuum, with Saleh away in Saudi Arabia getting medical treatment. Who's in charge? So right now you have a lot of forces, radical forces in Yemen, jockeying for position. Why is that dangerous for America? Number one, Al-Qaeda has a very strong presence in Yemen. Michael, you and I have discussed this over the past few months. A guy named Anwar al-Awlaki, American-born Al-Qaeda cleric, he's based in Yemen, and that Al-Qaeda Yemen group has really been the most dangerous to America, if you think about it, over the last 2 years. Fort Hood, the underwear bomber, Times Square bomber, could all be traced back to Al-Qaeda's Yemen branch. So you have a situation right now where you have a leaderless Yemen, you could have these radical Islamic jihadist forces really gain a lot of power, and Michael, already Al-Qaeda in Yemen has actually conquered two towns in southern Yemen. So you have Al-Qaeda literally running two towns in southern Yemen as we speak. There's been pushback. The Yemeni military is trying to fight back and get them out of there. But that's just a foretaste of what's to come, I fear, in Yemen. And from what some very credible security sources tell me, Michael, who've been on the ground there recently, this is going to be all-out chaos. Yemen will be a failed state. What the U.S. wants to see, and the Obama administration, they want Saleh, the Yemeni president, to step aside peacefully and, I guess, allow for some kind of free elections or democracy in Yemen. Once again, Michael, this is a pipe dream. It's not going to happen in Yemen, which is a chaotic tribal place. It's been talk about a forbidding, mountainous, rugged place where radical Islam is king. You're not going to have any form of democracy in Yemen. This is madness. It's a lot like Egypt, where the best you're going to get is a guy like Saleh in Yemen, who, like Mubarak in Egypt, who the Obama administration also threw under the bus in favor of Islamists. Saleh has participated with us to an extent in the war against jihadists in Yemen. There's been some intelligence sharing with Yemen against al-Qaeda. Saleh has allowed the U.S. to operate on Yemeni soil, special forces, etc., to go after al-Qaeda. We've carried out some of those drone missile strikes on Yemeni territory to target guys like Alaki. So look, Saleh is about the best we're going to get in Yemen yet again. This administration is telling him, step aside, free elections. Who benefits with Saleh gone? Al-Qaeda and associated jihadi groups and other tribal groups, Michael. Yemen is you know, outside of the Afghan-Pakistan region, Yemen is one of the most lawless tribal places in the world. You might not have jihadi forces in some of these tribes, but they're still hostile to America. They're still backwards, and they're still no friends of democracy. And, Michael, real quick, the elephant in the room here is Iran. There is also a large Shiite population in Yemen, and there have been many reports over the last 2 years that Iran is funneling money and weapons to the Shia in Yemen to attack the government as well. As you can tell, it's a complete mess with radical tribes, radical Islamists, and even some Iranian influence there in Yemen, Michael. And the fear is that it's going to spill outside of Yemen's borders and affect us.
Isn't Iran consolidating its power in the Middle East?
You know, Michael, you and I have discussed this, how Iran is right now really feeling pretty good about themselves. They feel that the wind is at their back. They look out at this so-called Arab Spring. They see the potential in places like Yemen, Egypt, Jordan, Libya, Bahrain. They see the potential in each of these countries for radical Islamists to come to the forefront, be it al-Qaeda, be it the Muslim Brotherhood, in each of these countries. President Obama is framing this like it's some great democratic revolution, like the fall of the Berlin Wall. This is disingenuous. It's madness. It's anything but that. The most likely beneficiaries in each of these countries, with the possible exception of Tunisia and Syria, perhaps, are radical Islamists. And in Syria, by the way, the Muslim Brotherhood is starting to feel pretty good about themselves as well. So, in each of these cases, you have jihadist groups that could come to power in these countries. So Iran, which is the king of all jihadist groups, the epicenter of jihad, they're looking at this and they're saying, hey, this is exactly what our Islamic scriptures told us what was going to happen. There would be great chaos in the Middle East, and we, the Iranians, would lead a unified Islamic world, an Islamic caliphate, to victory over Israel, victory over the West, and then we will see the return of the Mahdi, the great Islamic Messiah. Michael, you and I have discussed this. The Iranians truly believe this apocalyptic ideology. They believe the time is now to strike and to act, and they will shape policy around these apocalyptic beliefs. One more thing, Michael, real quick here about Yemen. My security source had told me this week, look, Yemen sits at a very strategic place on the map, the Gulf of Aden, where some 40% of the world's oil passes through. Now, that is right across the Gulf of Aden is Yemen from Somalia, another failed state. So, Michael, we have the doomsday potential here to see two failed states in close proximity to each other right across the Gulf of Aden, a strategic waterway. We have the potential to see that materializing, two failed states with radical jihadist forces at the forefront, and it could very well happen. We see these Somali pirates off the coast of Somalia. Could we see Yemeni pirates off the coast of Yemen? It's a real possibility, Michael, because Yemen, in addition to all the political, the jihad, all the restlessness there, they are running out of water. Yemen as a country is literally running out of water. They're running out of oil, which was a big cash cow for them. The population's uneducated, impoverished. They could very well turn to piracy if it does become an anarchy-type situation there. So the potential for the Gulf of Aden to be shut down is another doomsday scenario. Nothing good here. And the biggest export from Yemen now is not oil. It is Al-Qaeda terrorism. And a refugee problem as well is a great potential, Michael, with the poverty, with the madness, the lawlessness. Could you see thousands, millions of refugees streaming out of Yemen? This has the potential to be a disaster in many, many ways.
Well, what's going to happen when we completely lose Yemen and the Horn of Africa?
Well, if we completely lose Yemen, Michael, which it looks like we're about to do, I see a few things probably happening. I think, number one, you might not see Al-Qaeda right away come to power. Al-Qaeda's smart. Look, they know if they seize the country now that likely Saudi Arabia and America would get involved. They wouldn't allow that to happen. Even though the Obama administration, strangely, is emboldening jihadist forces in Yemen with their policies there, they still don't want Al-Qaeda to come to power, and the Saudis certainly won't. I think the Saudis, Michael, would intervene and get involved in Yemen and invade, quite possibly, if Al-Qaeda came to power there. It's right on Saudi Arabia's southern border. So in the short term, I think Al-Qaeda is going to play their cards smartly and say, look, let's lay low and build our power and conquer some towns, and but maybe not take over the whole country. But in the long term, there's a real possibility for a Taliban-style regime in Yemen. A very good possibility, Michael. And as we saw in 9/11, when you have these kind of regimes, it could be very dangerous for America. And I think absolutely something that's coming with the water shortage, with the oil running out, the economy in tatters in Yemen, the lawlessness, I think you could see a humanitarian disaster there and a real refugee problem there. Nothing good in Yemen, I hate to say it, but it looks like we're in some dire straits there. A big thing we could do there, Michael, is really strike at Al-Qaeda in Yemen, because the power of Al-Qaeda is shifted somewhat from that Afghanistan-Pakistan region to Yemen, to Somalia. So if we could strike at Al-Qaeda in Yemen with the drones, with special forces, whatever we need to do, and take out Anwar al-Awlaki, who was such a galvanizing force for the global jihad, if we could do that, we could be on to something at least. But even if Al-Qaeda is stamped out, Yemen's going to be a problem for years to come.
Thank you very much, Eric, for coming on the Savage Nation.
Hey, Michael, thanks. Always a pleasure to be here. And check out my book if you want more discussion on all these issues. Check out my book, The Terrorist Next Door, How the Government is Deceiving You About the Islamist Threat. Thanks again.
I'm Michael Savage. We'll be right back.
Savage.
I've shifted a little bit into some lifestyle questions and answers for a few minutes. Let's take another one right here on the Savage Nation. Sacramento Lee, what's on your mind?
Michael.
Yes.
I'm redecorating my office, and
yes,
my wife wants to paint it coral. I want to paint it Merlot, and my gun case is this beautiful, rich mahogany case. Do you have to decide this problem?
Is this a real question?
It is, absolutely.
Well, look, whose office is it?
It's mine. I want a man's office. I don't.
Who has to live in the office most all the time? You, right? Not your wife.
Yes, of course.
So, what is it? Why does she insist on her color scheme?
Well, she felt that the mahogany would pop better off the wall with the coral background rather than the Merlot.
And but you don't like coral because it's like a rental color.
Exactly, exactly. And you know, if you get it wrong, you get those pink overtones, and that's exactly what I.
Yeah, it looks like a rental office. Maybe she's thinking of getting rid of you and renting out the office. You never know. No, it's like beige. It's like a rental beige. I always worry about people who redecorate with neutral colors. I said, what are you thinking? Why is it neutral? You live here. What color do you really like? Why are you going for a neutral color?
Exactly. I mean,
no, I myself tend towards the dramatic. I like burgundies. I like very bold color schemes. So you want which color?
It's a Merlot. It's a pretty dark rich red color.
Better known as like Burgundy, right?
Burgundy, exactly.
Right, but you're in Sacramento, so they renamed the paint Merlot, but it's Burgundy. In other words, if you went to buy a Buick back in the 1950s, you wouldn't have said, I'd like a Merlot Buick, I'd like a Burgundy Buick, right?
Exactly.
Okay, Burgundy, because that's very Bordello-like. That could be why she doesn't like it.
That could be an issue. A lot of my collection is brass objects, so I think that they'll look really good against that dark color.
I do, too, and what you should say to her, if she's not, is she listening to the show?
No, but she really will follow what you say.
I would suggest you say to her in a very nice way, you know, honey, I really like, what's the color, coral?
Coral, yeah.
I really like the color coral, but that's more for a bedroom. I have to spend my working life in this color. I like a cave-like feel where I feel secure, and I want to act like a caveman for you so I can defeat the enemy and make more money.
She'll love that.
Okay. Thanks for the call. I swear I love these segments. This is wonderful fun. It relieves me from having to talk about the naked Marxists in the White House. You know, against Sacramento. What is it? I have one station? New York. Hasida in New York. Welcome to the Savage Nation. Is it Hasida or Chasida?
Hasida, that, you know, guttural Hebrew sound.
Yes. Hasida like Hasidim. What's on your mind?
So I'm a recent grad from a SUNY, State University of New York, and I've been job hunting. I've had some great internships, great experience, and I've just keep hitting walls. I was wondering what your advice was as, you know, recent grad in this economy.
Very, very, very bad. Very, very hard to be a college grad looking for work. It must be awfully depressing. I've been there. I have been through it most of my life until I entered radio and everything changed. But I remember getting out of college, Queens College. It was a bachelor's degree. I didn't know what I wanted to do. The kids who I went to college with were either going to medical school or dental school or law school, right? And those who couldn't do anything else went into journalism. But you're asking what you should do in a job market where there are no jobs. So let's start with the obvious, and you'll say I've done it already. Are there any family members who are successful, prominent business owners?
Yes, and I've been speaking to them, working the connections, and it's what it comes.
Let me explain something. We had a family member who we don't talk to who got out of Harvard Law School 15 years ago. You know what they taught her in her seminar, her last seminar? Look for your first case within your family. In other words, sue someone in your family. I swear to God, that's what they were teaching lawyers from Harvard 15 years ago. There's nothing wrong with using your family connections to get started. Can you go to work? You don't have to. Look, Hasina, you can't ask. You got to demand. You got to lean on him and say, look, there's no jobs out there. I'm super qualified. I'm smart. I can work for you. I can be better than any of your employees. I need you to hire me. You got to be very demonstrative about it.
Right. It's always that fine line, though, of, you know, being too aggressive.
Oh, no. This is your survival. That's not too aggressive. What are they going to do? Say no? Or they're going to say Hasida's a bad girl. She's mean to me. She talked loud to me. Are they going to say that? Who are they going to say it to?
Right. I mean, the truth is, what I want to go into human resources, ideally. And no, unfortunately, no one in my family really has connections in that arena.
I missed that. Connections in what?
Human resources.
Well, that's like a, you know, an iffy job. Unless they own a big corporation and can put you into a job, how are you gonna deal with human resources? Don't they have a business? What kind of business do they have?
Most of them are like doctors, accountants, lawyers, typical.
Well, wait a minute. So that's not so bad. So you can't work for a doctor because then you're only going to be a file clerk, right? You can't work for a lawyer because they're going to hire a paralegal. That makes you only a file clerk. So actually, unless they own a business, there is no opportunity in the family, is there?
Yeah, that's true.
However, don't lawyers have clients?
Right.
And don't doctors treat patients? Think of the network of your family members and how extensive it may be. If you went to your lawyer, cousin, uncle, whatever he is, and say, I need a job. I need you to talk to your clients. I'm sure you could find something for me. Then you're going to open up you're going to open up a cornucopia of opportunity for yourself.
Okay, interesting.
All right, there it is. So lean on your family. That's what family is for. That's what family is for at the end of the day. That's what family is for. They're supposed to help a young person who's just starting out. That's the way it works. Okay. Ah, here's a beautiful call coming up. Paul in Chicago, what's on your mind, Paul?
Thank you, Dr. Savage, for all you do.
Thank you.
I'm having a little problem coping with my mortality today because I see that Anne Margaret is turning 70.
I know what you mean. Whenever time I look at Brigitte Bardot, I don't know what to do to myself. Because when I was a young man, she was a sex goddess.
When I was a young man, I saw Anne Margaret perform in Vietnam. So now I'm having a problem. She's 70.
What do you mean? You were a troop?
Yes, sir.
Oh, and you saw her performing like that movie? What was that movie where they performed that Coppola did on the stage by the river?
She was in Vietnam with Bob Hope in 1968.
So what do you mean? You're really not feeling good about getting older because of that, or you're just pulling my leg?
Well, I'm just pulling your leg.
I see. But you're not doing badly for a 64-year-old, are you?
No, I'm not doing badly at all. But, you know, sort of a wake-up call to your mortality when you see someone like that turning 70, I think.
So what you do is you do 5 more push-ups a day, cut out the pasta, stop drinking beer, and get the Viagra and a toupee, and you'll be in business.
Thank you, doctor.
You know, Brigitte Bardot was such a stunningly beautiful girl, and you look what time and gravity did to that woman. It's frightening. I mean, I'm glad she's an animal rights activist. I like that part of her being.
Savage.